Hey, everybody. Welcome to the River Valley Podcast. My name is Kirk Graham, and I'm here with Logan Ketterly.
Hello.
It is the week after Easter.
Oh, yeah.
What an epic Easter weekend.
Over 40 services.
Our church. Over 40 services. Does that include Good Friday?
I don't know.
It might. It may,
I think
may
it might include Good Friday.
Okay. We're going to talk about Easter. We're going to share a couple different testimonies, and we're going to hear a new song as well. But this weekend, starting with Good Friday, all I heard was great reports.
And oh, yeah.
I do want to talk about this before we celebrate everything Easter. Why is it important to focus on the death of Christ? And sometimes it feels goofy at a Good Friday where you're like, you know, you're so focused on death. It's like, as a pastor, you're kind of feeling the tension of like, we're not really going to resurrection yet. You know, like we're letting the church just kind of sit in that, like the death. I mean, we're grateful for the death, understand, but I don't know if you want to respond or give some perspective of why do we do a separate service for Good Friday?
Well, it's 2,000 years later, and so Jesus has been risen for 2,000 plus years.
Yep.
And so I think kind of the point you're bringing up is how do you reflect when something has already happened?
Yep.
Right? I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'd love to hear your response on it. To me, it's just always been there's two parts.
Yep.
It's like part one, part two. It's the resurrection is part two. The resurrection doesn't have significance until the death happens, right? Because he's alive before, then he dies, and then he rises again. You know, he's the only person to ever live on this earth to proclaim that he is going to die and rise again and do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And because he's God. And so I think it's I also think on Good Friday, Good Friday is a reminder of it's our sin that put him on the cross. And I think Easter weekend is a reminder of the character of God and how incredible and powerful and amazing he is. So it's almost this time of I reflect on my own sin,
yep.
And then I'm grateful that he chose this path to die for me. And then the resurrection is more about affirming who he is. I don't know how you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think about it through the same lens that it's already happened, so we know the end of the story. But especially for new people coming, they're like, wow, this was kind of a, you know, we really talked about the crucifixion, you know? And there are some churches that, I actually just saw this post that there's some churches in their marketing, external marketing, they will not use words like cross, crucifixion, resurrection, because it makes people feel like an outsider. I'm taking a tangent here just to say, I'm about doing things in a winsome way, just trying to recognize that not everybody's raised in the church. But I disagree with not saying words like resurrection. Like, we are totally about that. And for a person unfamiliar with the story or even those words, you know, how often do you say the word crucifixion? Never. I think it's a faith word. And even people from the outside, I don't know if you would say the same thing. We're taking a little tangent here.
I know what you're talking about. There was posts that were going around. I was sent it by many people that said, what do you think about this? To me, I think it's all overblown.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think if your heart is right to not shy away from the gospel, but utilizing certain words, like you could say the same about, well, we're not going to use, like some pastors are bilingual.
Yep.
And you know, maybe I've been in a service before where they start speaking in Spanish and then all the people who know Spanish, which I happen to know Spanish pretty well, know what he's talking about. And then you have a bunch of people in the room who are just sitting there and have no idea what he's preaching on.
Yeah.
And so I think the same could be said about that to say, I just think if the heart of it is to shy away from the gospel and the truth of the gospel, then we're wrong.
Yep.
If it's really to try to explain it in a clearer way that's better understanding, then I think it's fine. But I think if you're banning words, then I think we should be careful. So again, to me, I'm kind of in the middle on it.
Back to Good Friday. Resurrection is all about the life that we have. We've been made alive in Christ. But to get there, I think it is so valuable to look at the death of Jesus on the cross, even the interrogation and, you know, the flogging and all the stuff that he had endured, the spitting, getting spit on and mocked and all that stuff, and to reflect just for a little bit. It's good to sit in it as a Christ follower to say, that is what I deserve. that's what my sin has earned me. And I cannot believe Jesus did that for me. And it's almost like watching Passion of the Christ, which I haven't seen since I was a teenager. Maybe it's time to watch it again. But it's like, it's not fun. But there's value to it. And the Bible actually talks about the value of grieving, that there's value in like this sober thought of grief or even loss of a loved one. There's value in it. Like, wow, life's a vapor. It's here today, gone tomorrow. And there's value in looking at the cross going, that is what I deserve. And that's not what I get. And it's fresh perspective of grace and mercy. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting something you deserve. And Good Friday is the mercy service. I don't get death on a cross because Jesus died in my place. And I'm so grateful. And I just love, you know, I was at City Campus, which was amazing. I think it was their best attended Good Friday service. And even just looking at the worship team, I don't know if this was the case at every campus, but they were all wearing black, kind of like dress code.
Yeah, I was at Apple Valley.
And you're creating this atmosphere of not hopelessness, but wow, Jesus took it. He took it in my place. And it allows us to go through, which by the way, Saturday is called Silent Saturday, just in church calendar. We don't really brand Saturday. We actually brand it as Easter egg hunts, right. You know? Which is cool. We've got a testimony from an Easter egg hunt we can get to. But Saturday's silent, and it's just this remembrance as Christ followers, like even when you feel like God's silent, something's happening behind the scenes, and Sunday was about to happen. And so maybe you feel like you've been living in Silent Saturday because of a healing you're waiting for or God to answer a prayer. But God's doing something behind the scenes. We believe that in faith and get to Resurrection Sunday. Easter was awesome. Where were you at Saturday and then Sunday? You know, what campuses?
Yeah, I was at Apple Valley on Friday and Saturday and then Lakeville on Sunday and was also at the Lakeville Easter egg hunt on Saturday morning. So it kind of went back and forth.
Hey, how was the Lakeville Easter egg hunt?
It was crazy. I don't know if anyone
saw. I heard the whole city came out.
I mean, it was, yeah, there was, I don't know how many. It's hard to count that. Well over 1,000 people were there.
And I lost my kids at the Apple Valley Easter egg hunt. I literally left one of them behind, but on purpose. Our oldest was doing some face painting. But seriously, Apple Valley was jam-packed.
Yeah.
And
I think 7 campuses did Easter egg hunts. Yeah.
You just, I don't know, I cringe a little bit thinking, did kids walk away with no eggs?
Well, here's what we said. I got on the microphone because we had way more than we expected.
You
got
to do something.
Way more. And the eggs, Lindsay Felster is our kids pastor at Lakeville. She was going over the rules and the kids just started running. Like they didn't wait for the countdown.
That's actually happened to her before.
It has. And she didn't do anything wrong this time. I don't know. Okay, this must be a
for those listening, last time, a few years back, she was trying to just entertain the kids and was going to do the wave, you know, while they're all waiting for the Easter eggs, you know, before the hunt actually started, she was going to do the wave with the kids. And so she was telling the kids like that needed to start the wave. She said, ready, 1, 2, 3, go. But it was just for the wave and kids off in the distance heard go. And hundreds of kids just started running towards the
eggs. Same thing happened, except she didn't even count this time. They just started going. And so the eggs were gone in about 10 seconds. And so we said, I went on the microphone.
Thousands of eggs, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There were 6,000 eggs, literally 10 seconds. It was like locusts going through the fields. And just I'm looking for colors, and I don't see any. These eggs are gone. And I say on the microphone, I say, hey, if your kid didn't get any candy, we got some extra candy, you know, for them. And just dozens of kids come over to the speakers. And I think we had just enough to give everyone at least one piece of candy. But we've learned a lot of things about Easter egg hunts that if you invite the community, they show up. And you need to have more candy than you thought you needed to have.
And just so anybody knows, our perspective is it's a great outreach. And so we are going to do it. And we'll double down and however many eggs we need. We are gonna do our best to provide the community, our cities, a great Easter egg hunt with also an invite. Hey, come hear what Easter's actually all about.
Totally. Yeah, we had we shared some testimonies at our staff kind of early prayer and staff meeting that we had, and one of the testimonies that was shared was actually somebody invited someone from their gym who was an atheist. Yep. And I believe either his wife or his girlfriend is a witch.
Yeah.
And they came to the Easter egg hunt.
You don't hear that too often. Yeah. I'm just going to say it. You're not meeting witches left and right.
People are like, we had a witch at an Easter egg hunt? Yeah. It's incredible that God, people maybe would never step foot in a church.
Yeah, that's the point, is we're doing things in a way to reach our community that are people who are far from God that would never come to a church service but could come feel the love of Jesus, maybe come through our doors for an Easter egg hunt or some separate event that's ministering to kids. And yeah, she came and experienced, and I don't know if she was back for the Easter service, but just trusting that, you know, it's a seed planted,
right?
Being around godly people, feeling the love of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit. So,
yeah, there's so many testimonies of Easter. Hundreds of hands were raised this weekend. And
yeah, share the one. We've got a staff member actually been praying for their daughter, just stronger relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, and then her boyfriend came to church first time in I think Christmas was the first time coming to a non-Catholic church.
Yep.
And ended up raising his hand and saying, hey, I want to commit to this. I want to be a part of this church, leaning in, saying, hey, that campus is that other campus is actually near where I live. And so yep. I want to go be a part of that campus. And so I just love how God's doing that again for people on staff with us, as well as people in our community. Like we said, hundreds of people's lives being transformed. And you know, you may say, well, did that mean anything to them? Was that real, or was that just them trying to get, you know, get points with God?
As an adult, if you raise your hand in a service like that, it's not, you're not just doing it
right
for fun.
Totally.
You're definitely not doing it because you think everybody else is. Like, it's a real moment. Like, I have to remind myself that, like, what's raising hands? Raising hands doesn't save anybody. But if you're an adult, like, if you want to give your life to Jesus, raise your hand. Like, if you're going to do that as an adult, it is a real moment.
Right, right. Yeah, and we celebrate the kids too, but I think to your point, sometimes kids, they're just kind of look over at their neighbor and they're like, oh, they're raising their hand, I'm raising my hand. But it's awesome to see. We kind of are counting up the totals of people, and we don't, numbers aren't like the end-all, be-all of everything. We actually would say we want hands raised is more important to us, discipleship, people getting in welcome home, but, you know, seeing this weekend between all of our services, close to 20,000 people coming, which Pastor Rob mentioned last week, that's probably about what we'd be, and we were just right about there. And so it's just awesome to see all these people that come. Maybe you saw people that were at church that you go, man, I haven't seen you in a while. It's easy to think about that, but I'd say what an opportunity to invite them in. Invite them to your small group. Invite them in your life. Go out to dinner with them. One of our campus pastors, there's someone that showed up to their Easter egg hunt, and he's from a different religion completely.
Yep.
And he didn't come to church this weekend, but he said, you know what? I'll get coffee with you as a pastor. And so I just love seeing that God's making an impact in our community, and he's using us.
Yeah, no doubt. I told you this story, but I met a couple at Egan campus. His name is Colton, and he was serving with his wife on the parking team. They were getting their vests on and flags right after team rally before the first service, which they had an 8 a.m. service, so it was early. I said, how long have you been coming to church here? He's like, well, it's been the last like 4 or 5 months. And I said, well, how'd you get involved? He said, my wife, she started going to Sisterhood, and I got to the end of my rope knowing I'm not being the man I need to be, and I told my wife, just sign me up for something. And I'll show up. So they actually just went through Alpha, and they've been serving, and super cool dude, you know, mid-30s, and they don't have kids yet. But he said, that's not the beginning of my River Valley story. He said, I love golfing, and I love going out as just a single early before work. I can get 18 in quick and still make it to work by 9. And this guy, he's an insurance broker buying an insurance business here pretty soon. But Colton said, my first experience or getting introduced to River Valley was I was golfing at Heritage Links in Lakeville, and I was cruising through, and I ran into this double group, father and son duo, out at Heritage Links, and we ended up just finishing the round together. Find out halfway through my time with them that the dad is a pastor, and the church called River Valley. And long story short, Colton met Pastor Rob and you, Logan, you guys finished a round together, and he always had it in the back of his mind, man, I should be in church. Maybe River Valley is a good place to go. His wife later gets involved in sisterhood, and now they're serving on the parking team. And so your dad heard that testimony. He goes, see, golf is a ministry.
Hey, golf is a ministry. Come on. I love it. I'm excited that maybe Colton and us, we can do a full round together.
Oh, yeah.
And then we can recruit more people out on the golf course, wherever that is. I love that. And, it's a reminder for all of us. I mean, we said made for Mondays, but it's not even in your work. It could be in your hobbies. It could be in your neighborhood. It could be wherever.
That's so good. You know? I wonder who I could reach for Jesus beekeeping.
Yeah.
It's gotta be something.
Oh, totally. No, honestly though, I actually think,
we could do a totally different take, like made for Saturday mornings.
Totally. No, but think about this. Hobbies are the link between a lot of people. Like, I think it was C.S. Lewis that he said the link between a friend is an interest. Right?
Yeah, interesting.
And so he said, you don't become friends with people just because you're in proximity. You become friends with people because you have common interests.
Yeah.
As a golfer, if I meet somebody who loves to golf, and this is crazy, I think a lot of women laugh about this, but it's like, you could go golf with somebody you've never met before, and it's totally cool. Like, it is not, like, you spend four and a half hours with them. You might ride in a cart with them.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just for people who love golf, that is not weird at all. You meet them, hey, good to meet you. You're going to spend 4.5 hours together. Now, you might not know a thing about them because usually you just talk about golf and you're not, peppering into them.
You might make fun of their swing.
Yeah, or you might be made fun of, depending on who you are. But I think that, whether it's pickleball or whether it's wood, like I like woodworking, or there's people that would say, hey, I love sewing, or I love gardening, or whatever it is. There are people out there that maybe would never talk to you about faith, but because of your hobbies, you can become friends, and then you have the open door to speak into their life. But I just think, again, coworkers, it's like, hey, you're in my proximity because I have to be. Hobbies, you're in my proximity because I want to be. Man, we should do another series made for the weekends.
made for hobbies. Healthy habit hobby. No, I'm just kidding. I wonder who else makes yogurt, because that's kind of my thing. No,
yogurt?
I have made it. I'm just joking.
Chickens, yogurt, beekeeping.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in the homestead world. It's only that's the only people I follow on YouTube is homesteaders.
Really?
Yeah, usually Christian homesteaders too,
Christian homes. See, that's the subculture.
My grandpa was a pig farmer, so that's kind of my end goal, but someday. Easter was amazing. Almost 600 people gave their lives to Jesus Christ.
Wow.
At least hands raised and responses. And that doesn't even count the one person that we just heard this morning. In the lobby after the 11:30 service at Apple Valley, one of our staff introduced herself and just said, how long have you been coming? And she's like, I'm not a spiritual person. I just came because it's Easter. And I don't know if she had friends that came, but just said, I'm not a Christian and this is not. And our staff member, Pastor Britt, she just said, can I just share part of my testimony, my story? And her testimony deeply impacted this woman who said is not spiritual, to the point of this woman starts sobbing, it's like ministering to her. And Britt just said, hey, would you want to make a decision to follow Jesus? Like, this is for you. You're not here on accident. The woman says yes. They pray a prayer together.
Wow.
Gets introduced to Pastor Davey, hopefully getting connected in the life of our church. But that happened in the lobby after our last service, Easter. God's still saving people, and it's just awesome. Love it.
It's incredible. Yeah, God's doing amazing things, and let's not let Easter be a weekend. Let's, let's let it continue. Let's not let it just be a time on the calendar. Obviously, the holiday is over. The day of remembrance is over, but let's build on that. Let's say the people you saw, the people that you invited, follow up with them. You don't have to say, well, I gave it a shot. They said no, and better luck at Christmas. Like, you may feel this a little tinge of judgment towards the people that come on Christmas and Easter. But if I challenge you, and I'm challenging myself in this, have I invited them any other time? Have I brought them? Have I invited them in my life? Have I had them over at my home? Are we going to point a finger at them without realizing, hey, God has put me here to be the hands and feet of Jesus?
It was the best resurrection visibility day we've ever had.
Opening up the can.
Yeah, you can turn off this episode if you want, if that doesn't encourage you.
If that transition didn't encourage you.
No, we don't have to talk about it. I think Pastor Rob will continue to lead our church in what's happening in our state and what's happening in our nation and what does the Word of God say. And actually, I'm really glad to be a part of our church in standing on the Word of God. And that was referencing, if you didn't know, March 31st, I guess for the last 9 years has been Trans Visibility Day. But it was just interesting, you know, that this year it landed on Easter and there was a specific press release that came out from our president and the White House saying, you know, we're celebrating March 31st, 2024 as Trans Visibility Day, which even though it's been for the last 9 years, it hasn't always landed on Easter. But that was paired with also the administration saying, you know, during the Easter egg, the Easter egg hunt at the White House, that there would be no religious art or outfits. Nobody could, you know, do any art or eggs, egg decoration or anything like that with religious. And it's like, no, it's Easter, man. Like the first time that's ever happened. So, yeah, I think my own perspective is it's sad to be in a place where our country was founded on religious freedom and also celebrating and even Joe Biden saying that he's a Catholic, you know, you would think that there'd be some acknowledgement that, hey man, this is Jesus Christ is risen and we celebrate that. Celebrate it personally and as a family and in this country, but that didn't happen. So I'm glad that at River Valley we had the best Resurrection Visibility Day ever.
Yeah, and I saw a couple of days after that he said, or maybe it was
Monday.
He said he didn't do it.
Yeah,
which is a kind of a whole nother topic. Obviously, maybe not the River Valley podcast, but there's plenty of
other podcasts you can find.
It is bizarre. I'm just going to say it is bizarre when that happens. And then he's like, I didn't say that. You're like,
we're launching a conspiracy podcast.
We get way more viewers for that. Way more listeners. Hey, River Valley podcast coming on video soon.
Here is the truth, actually, that no matter what our government does, no matter what our leaders do, Jesus is alive, and he's changing lives in our church and in our neighborhoods, our communities, and I'm thankful for the power of God at work in our lives.
Yeah, and last week I shared an update about the Capitol, and, you know, we want to be involved. We want to be engaged, and I think a lot of people ask me, like, I don't love politics. Like, some people just love it. Like, they just love the engagement of it.
They love the drama.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not that way. But also, I also recognize that there is a unique responsibility. And just for those who are processing this, there's a lot of people, and you've probably heard over the last few weeks, as there have been political things, both with the president, as we just talked about, as well as our state and some of the state laws that we're trying to uphold our religious freedoms in. And I'm appreciative of all those who emailed their representatives and leaned into that to say, hey, we want our voices to be heard, that we're not trying to project on everyone else, but we do want to fight for the freedom to practice the religious beliefs we have. And some people, I think, it's very difficult to interpret the times of Jesus related to where we are in the United States. And specifically for that reason is there wasn't a democracy. And truly, there hasn't been a democracy. I mean, the United States, for all intents and purposes, was the first democracy really to live. Again, there's been pockets of it, but as a country, there has, and it's not even a democracy, actually. It's a constitutional republic that has democratic tendencies. But
dude, the fact that you just said that is epic.
But it's true. Yeah, yeah. It's true. But like,
well, I'm laughing because somebody listening to this podcast will be like, it's not even a democracy. And then you say it.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to be accurate.
Democratic republic.
Yeah. Constitutional republic.
Okay, go for it.
With democratic tendencies, Kirk.
All right.
And no, but even having a voice in government, like, it wasn't existing for basically all of humanity. Kingship, we see in scripture that it was mostly kings, which you could use the word dictator or king, you know, synonymously. But Some kings were good kings. Other kings were bad kings. I really think, though, your theology gets messed up when you start to make, whether you view it as democracy or republic, either one, God's design for the world has never been a republic or a democracy. It has always been a kingdom.
Yeah.
And he is the king. He is the king of kings. He is the Lord of lords. And so I do think that it does mess with our theology a little bit, that we have this opportunity to be civically involved, to be politically involved, to be involved in government as a Christian, you know, that could be voted in, not just appointed by the king. And so I do think we have to be intentional and careful on one hand to not criticize those who want to be engaged and involved,
yep,
because we have that opportunity. But then on the other side, not to let that be our God, because we do live in a kingdom and people say, well, I want the right, I want rights for this. Is that a God-given right or is that a nation right?
Yep.
You know? And so I think just we have to be discerning in those things. And as long as we're being discerning and holding scripture at the forefront of who we are, then I think we can be engaged in a reasonable way.
And if we're going to speak, if we're going to vote, we're definitely going to do it with biblical value in mind and biblical truth in mind. And also there's great example of laws being passed in the book of Daniel where Daniel goes, nope, I'm not doing that. I'm still going to pray. You know, so if there are things that are happening in any nation at any time that are anti-Christ or anti-Bible, that would force us in any which way to do something against the word of God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, hey, bow down. No, we're actually not going to do that. And so there's biblical precedents to look at. When does government or politics or policy infringe on my Christian belief? I'm not doing that. So those are things that like feel like anything that goes against the word of God, it is our responsibility to go like, I understand, but I'm in the kingdom of God. He is my highest authority. And I'm just, I'm not going that direction, you know?
Yeah. And those examples you
come
gave,
what may.
Those examples you gave are under a authoritarian king, you yep. know, right? And that's where we are today. I've traveled a lot. You've traveled a lot, Kirk. And I don't think America is the linchpin to God's plan in the world. I also think that as a nation that has the freedom to worship as one of its top priorities, defending that does impact the rest of the world. And as goes America and culture, as goes much of the world as well in following it. And I've seen this to be true across places that I travel. This is quotes. I was just in Singapore. We talked about this. There was 24 different nations. I mean, all throughout Southeast Asia, all throughout Africa, that they were talking about it. And they said the sexual obsession of the U.S. government has made its way into our country. And here's how, and most people don't know this. The aid that is being distributed of the United States government
yes.
is being withheld from countries that do not agree with policies related to their stance on LGBTQ,
yeah,
trans,
fly the flag,
all of that. And so they're saying, we as a nation have never even has been a topic of discussion, but you've been withholding aid. And again, they're saying you've been, like we are, it's the government, have been withholding aid until our government changes our stance on LGBTQ issues. And so for those who say, man, this is not a big deal, just let it happen, it is affecting people all around the world. It's affecting nations all around the world. Now, God is sovereign and he will do what he does. But I think we do have a responsibility when we have a nation that is the wealthiest, most powerful nation to be engaged in this that does impact the rest of the world. So I think it's something to be considered, is that it's not just, well, if it doesn't affect me, I'm going to not care about it. No, it's affecting a lot of people.
Or to figure out a way to live a life that you think it doesn't affect you, to go move out into the country and homeschool your kids and you just remove yourself from society completely. As you know, being a beekeeper, yogurt maker, chicken farmer.
You're a good example.
You know, I am for getting land and homeschooling your kids and being self-sustaining and all that. Like, I'm for that. I am not for removing myself completely from society in a way that I can no longer be a light in this world. Even if I'm being a light to my family, that is great, but not at the expense of being a light in this world. And we, as Christ followers, I don't think we are afforded the freedom to hide ourselves completely from the world we live in. We've got a job to do, and let's have complete peace, light, safety, all of that for all eternity in heaven. And let's get after it. You know, we just said goodbye to some of our closest friends, Sam and Tasana, as they go on the other side of the world to preach the good news of Jesus. You know, we're on mission.
Totally. Totally. It's no better spot to end there. And I want to just read through the families we're praying as a staff this week for our Crosstown campus families from there. I'm just going to read some last names. Again, thank you for your grace in pronunciations here. But just thankful for all these people that are part of our church. We're praying for the Engens, the Horns, the Hagelis, the Bozicks, Millers, Andersons, Hudsons, Dengrud, Nielsen, Schaffs, Koch family, Anderson, Dales, Mararmores, Rousers, Remingtons, Sherrys, Ferries, Churchills, Fitzgerald, Mayans, Stewart, Forseth, Kinsella, Pauls, Hebricks, Kohlers, Gonzalez's. There's so many more. I can't list all of them that we're praying for, but there's just so many families that we are praying for. Also praying for Grace Church in Eden Prairie. We pray for other churches in our community, praying that God would use them on the west side of the city, as we know they have a building there, praying for other network churches all around the country, and some of our missionaries as well are on our list. But we're praying for you by name. We pray for you as a staff, and we just want you to know that as a church, we have all sorts of needs, but in addition to the needs that we get every single week on the app and on the Connect cards, we are praying for the families that are a part of our church, and we just so appreciate that you would call River Valley your home, and we hope you feel those prayers in your work week. We hope you feel them in the circumstances that you're in, and Kirk, would you pray for all the families and all the needs represented in our church from this Easter weekend?
Yes, dear Lord, we thank you for all that you've done over Easter weekend, and we just pray over our church. All the needs that are represented, everything that was just read and shared. Lord, you see it all. You know it all. We pray every single week that you'd answer prayer, and I thank you that you don't get tired of our prayers, that you're not overwhelmed, that you are more than able. You're the infinite, all-powerful God, and so we ask that you'd heal, you'd restore, you'd comfort. And Lord, I pray over the people that gave their lives to you this weekend and all the visitors as well that came through our doors or were at an Easter egg hunt. And specifically, I've just been thinking about the kids that had a great experience, that really loved being in the house of God. Maybe they wouldn't say it that way. They loved the music, or they loved being around other kids, or they loved the teachers or the workers or the kids pastors. Lord, I just pray that the kids would have a great influence in their homes this week, and they'd be able to say, man, I'd really love to go back to that church. I'd love to go back to church. And I just pray that parents would make an amazing decision to plant their families in the house of God and to pursue you, Jesus. And so we just ask that families would be coming back over the next few weeks, that we'd see as many people that gave their lives to Christ, we'd see them take their next step of water baptism in just a couple weeks and more. So Lord, let your hand continue to be on our church. Meet every need, big and small. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
There on a hill called Calvary stood a wondrous mystery. How could pain and suffering be our victory? Crown made of thorns placed on his brow, scorned by the mocking. The King of Heaven bow for the way of sin. crown him with praise. Worship his name, Jesus the King who defeated the grave. Now and always his victory remains, so crown him with praise. Then on the cross for sins made, all of my transgressions laid on the King for sins slain.
Thanks for listening to the River Valley Podcast. It would help us out a ton if you could rate and review this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and also share it with somebody. We hope that this isn't just for people in our church. We hope that this is people far beyond that, but we know that people in our church maybe don't even know about it yet. We're talking about it on weekends. We're sharing in announcements, but maybe you're a listener, but someone in your small group isn't, or someone at your campus. So would you send it to them, share it with them so that they can receive this, and then rate it wherever you listen so that more people can find this podcast.
If you have questions about faith, about church, about belief, about theology, about the Bible, please submit your questions. You can find us on Instagram at RiverValleyMN. You can also email us, finding us on our website, rivervalley.org. Please, we want to hear your questions so that we can continue to answer those or at least respond to them here on the podcast. And again, thank you for listening. We'll see you in church this weekend.